So we want this to be an informal and a discussion. I know this was webinar was a bit at the last minute, and a lot of people are off, but I do see some of you on. So take this as an opportunity to ask all the questions you wanted and how you would be able to hook up with your community or anything you ever want to know about NBBB and VISTA. But anyway, so for our in-person audience, which means the people in this room, just state your name before responding or asking a question. I mean, we do have two Melissas, so Melissa Arnie. And for those of you online, you could either type a question, or if you don't mind, just use the microphone, which, let's see, if you, do you want to?
Yeah, if you see on the top bar, there's an icon of the person raising their hand. If you click that, it should give you microphone access to your computer so you can ask a question verbally. Or there's also a Skype line if you're dialed into that, and then you can just unmute yourself to ask the question.
Okay, great. So before we take any questions, I just want to turn again to Tanya and Amanda. And you heard from the perspective of Jennifer. So, again, you all have a different take on this. Can you say a little bit about what the project has been like for NCCC in terms of how the research precedes project development or any other benefits that you've seen from doing this or challenges?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, you heard kind of the introduction to NCCC and how we work in all these different communities, but we're located out of Sacramento and we're not really experts in all these different communities. We don't see the day-to-day needs, and we don't necessarily know what the big issues are that we can help support. So having people like Jennifer and her folks on the ground in Reno, where we've tried to have more projects, and we're really interested in expanding our support into some of these more rural communities and states like Nevada, it's been beyond amazing to just be a part of, because we're, I've been able to, and Tanya has too, to interact with these scientists and meet with them and hear what their stories are, and it's much more impactful and really exciting to see what kind of projects we can develop from actual true need and hearing, especially from youth on the ground, but really anyone in a community that's stating what their need is and saying, hey, like Jennifer said, we have this resource. How can we perfectly match up, this team to come and help support your community with a need that you're saying that you have. So it's not us going into a community and saying that we see something that we can help fulfill, but it feels just much more impactful. So it's not just on Jennifer's side that it's been amazing. It's been a perfect partnership on our side as well.
Just add too, we're still in obviously the planning stages of getting this project off the ground, and we're really excited at the level of community involvement. So the other component to think about when our teams come and do these short-term projects is that they're not just, extra workers. They are also young people, and they are really, as Kevin was talking about, they really want to see the meaningfulness of their project work. So when you have a project like the one in Nevada, where you've got youth that are engaged, you've got the city council that's engaged, you've got a lot of different people really invested in the success of this project and explaining to our team, why are you doing this work? I'm sure when people think about joining AmeriCorps, they're not like, building sidewalks is why I want to do this work. But if they can see, there is a huge issue in this community, and by coming in, bringing in an NCCC team and doing this work, I really see the value and how it's connected and why it's important. And when we can find a project that can connect those pieces, so what we call service learning, mm-hmm. It makes it just so much more impactful all around. So we get absolutely, the priority is getting the work done, but also providing an experience where our members get to learn and see how communities solve the issues that they're trying to address. That's just, icing on the cake when we can find a project that has all of those components. So we're really appreciative of the Office of Research and Evaluation for making the connection, for Jennifer and her team for being so open and willing to educate us on all the different things. But I know so much more about Nevada now after having gone there. And then I'm really hopeful that that this project will get off the ground, and I'm sure it will be a success when we can do it. So, yeah, it's just a real win-win partnership, and so we've appreciated the opportunity.
Okay. Thank you so much. And I'm not trying to sell any. I feel like I'm a, but I really, again, this webinar is about how do we, with the research that's going on in the communities, how do we best then make that link to either NCCC or VISTA? And I think the recruiting is important. What Kevin's talking about is because as researchers, you work in universities, you have access to undergrads, some of you are working in high schools like Jennifer, and this is also, these programs are just really good, like they said, as a gap year, or if someone doesn't know what their next step is, or if someone's graduating from college and is waiting for their next thing. So that's why we want to make sure that you know both how one becomes a sponsor to do the work that you want to do, but then how you might, how the recruiting happens. And so I know with VISTA also, you all recruit from the community. Can you say something about that? So let's say there's a community-based project going on. Are you able to recruit? Like, let's say the students from graduate high school here in Reno, could they become a VISTA member and stay in their community to do some of the capacity building work at one of the nonprofits?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, and we'll tag team, I think.
Okay.
So we definitely do encourage that sponsoring organizations reach out to community members because they definitely are aware of what's happening where they live, and they're able to really help guide and impact the work that the sponsoring organization is going to do, that anti-poverty work and those projects. And so we think it's a really valuable experience, and we find that we have many different types of members, whether they're members that come straight out of high school, as you mentioned, or they could be members that sign up after college, or sometimes you have people in the community that are maybe changing careers, or just people in the community that are leaders that really want to be a part of this type of project. And so CNCS field staff definitely will work with sponsoring organizations to help them think about ways to recruit the most impactful members, if you will, and definitely community members are great. We and even if a project does not have community members serving on their project as members, we definitely require that the community has a say in the planning, the implementation, and the evaluation of VISTA projects. So that's very important.
Okay. So I just want to see if there are any questions from some of you, if you're interested in, I think Keisha had her hand up.
Hi, yes. Keisha. Yes, I have a question, or a series of questions. So thank you so much. It's been very helpful. Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Sorry. So it's helpful to see how the CNCS research and the volunteer activities can come together, particularly in the example in University of Nevada, Reno. And my question really revolves around the timeline of that. So it sounds like the is the work that's going on now with NCCC and the project, is that like it's already been through the application process, or is this part of the application process? Because I'm trying to think about, in terms of our timeline, when do we begin to engage the programs that we think could really support us in our community work?
Hi, Keisha. This is Amanda with NCCC. That's a great question. And depending on which region you're in, we have different project timelines. So I've been working with Jennifer and her team just kind of on a rolling basis. And we have a few ideas as far as the timeline in which this project might happen, but we're kind of wanting to get everything in place as far as who's the sponsor and getting the housing together and all of that good stuff before we really get it off the ground. So it's definitely still in the planning phase of everything. No application's been submitted or anything like that. But in the attachments of the Adobe Connect thing, there is a schedule on the second page of that NCCC document, and it shows basically per region what the timelines are for our project dates. So it's different, like I said, for every region. Here in the Pacific region, our year kind of starts the beginning of November and goes through the end of July. So we look at different time frames within that period of time.
So Amanda, Keisha's in New Jersey. So okay. What would her campus is southern region?
New Jersey? Yes. It is actually southern region. So that would be the campus in Vicksburg, Mississippi. And so it looks like their project year starts in August. And it goes through May. So you can see based on which time frame within that year you might be interested in. I would say if you have a project in mind or you just want to get connected to the campus, go ahead and just start doing that, and they'll help you kind of develop that and think about what the best time frame might be and kind of walk you through that application process.
Okay, that's helpful to know.
We're happy.
We were actually looking. We were looking to connect with the VISTA program, and is that the same? Like, because I doubt we'd be able to make a July 1st deadline for a concept paper, but should we still just reach out and at least begin the conversation and do more collaborative planning, or should we wait until we're further along in the process?
Hi, this is Melissa from VISTA. So we have a brand new request for concept papers process that we implemented this year. And as you mentioned, our next deadline is July 1st, but you can definitely reach out to the CNCS field staff in your state and begin having those conversations. You can, propose the project that you're thinking of, and you can work together. And then you would have to wait until the next deadline, which will be October 1st.
Thank you. And I won't take up too much time. My one last question is, can a government agency be a sponsor for a VISTA project?
Yes, we're the same, exactly the same as NCCC, except that we can't place VISTAs at federal government offices, but state and local we can.
Great.
Are there other questions? I'd like to ask about a couple things. I've worked here now several years, and I'm still learning every time I hear about these programs, so there is a lot of detail. But can you give us some examples, both programs, about the range of different types of projects that maybe you've developed in the past year so people have a better idea? Amanda, you talked about a range of projects, but can you just give us some maybe specific ones that you've done in the past year or that you're developing for this year for your team?
Yeah, sure. So we do have a wide range for sure. I cover in my role, I do outreach and coordinate projects in Idaho, Nevada, and Southern California. Those are my areas of our region. So specifically as far as my experience, we actually have a team right now working in Yerington, Nevada. That's our Nevada project currently, working with the Boys and Girls Club. So the team is a team of eight, and they separate out into actually three different Boys and Girls Club, very rural spots in that area. So the team kind of separates out each day to each of those club offices, and they mentor and do some programming development for the different offices. So they work, individually with youth in the community. So that's one project that they're doing. They're also helping do some event planning for a country music festival. That's kind of the main fundraising for the Boys and Girls Club there. So that's one project. Also have a project up in Idaho working with a national forest up there, Salmon Chaff National Forest, and the team is working to protect riparian river communities, river areas in this very rural ranching community. And they're working alongside ranchers to put in fencing and clean up some post-fire issues in some of those remote, like, campgrounds. So that's another project. And then in Southern California, we had a team working with Mojave Desert, a land trust down there, and they were doing some conservation work. They were counting desert tortoises and protecting habitat. And they were working with community members and just kind of education type work. Those are just a few examples. Oh, NESPERS, that's a good example too. So another project actually that just ended, we had a team up in Idaho, in La Poix, Idaho, on the NESPERS reservation, working with the NESPERS tribe. And the team was actually living in a church and then working in the community, doing some medicine garden builds, doing some bilingual signage, some infrastructure improvement for the community, working with a little bit of mentorship with, like, some of the youth, and cleaning up, like, elder homes and kind of just whatever the needs were in the community. So those are just kind of a few wide range project examples.
Thank you. What about Vista?
So we have everything from large national intermediary projects like Habitat for Humanity International. And while a VISTA project, one single project, generally lasts from 3 to 5 years, we've had a relationship with Habitat for Humanity for years and years. And the way it works is that they have various sites throughout the country, and after one site has a VISTA for that 3 to 5 year period, they'll close that site down and then start a new one with a new VISTA project. So we have those kinds of projects. We have Habitat for Humanity, NeighborWorks USA, and several others. There are also projects that are multi-site within a specific state. Ohio has a few of those. The Ohio Community Development Corporation Coalition is one of those. Again, same thing. They have multiple sites throughout the state of Ohio, and they rotate those sites in and out for VISTA projects. And then there are lots of single-site projects, just one location, multiple VISTA members. And some examples of the kinds of projects we have are we do a lot in education, a lot of tutoring, mentoring, college access kinds of programs. In housing, we do a lot of homeless prevention, housing first, temporary housing for homeless, housing development projects, housing preservation projects. Healthy Futures, we do a lot in obesity prevention, in opioid, and other addiction prevention programming, access to health care, those kinds of things.
Great. Thank you. I know.
Andrea, can I?
Yes.
This is Tanya from NCCC. So I think if I could just use the Habitat example and just kind of distinguish the different AmeriCorps programs, because I think it gets very confusing when you hear about all these different, like, AmeriCorps VISTA and NCCC, and I know you're going to have another call that's talking about state and national. The best way that I've been able to describe it is if you were thinking about Habitat, so as they were just talking about, you know, it's an organization who are building homes for, you know, low-income individuals, right? So an AmeriCorps NCCC team, we would be that short-term resource. So say Habitat, you know, has a really hard time recruiting members over the winter months because, you know, people just don't want to work in the cold. They can work with their local NCCC campus and get a team of 8 to 12 members that come in there for, you know, 6 to 12 weeks. They're the ones who are hammering the nails, putting up the drywall, you know, pouring the concrete, you know, laying roof shingles or whatever. AmeriCorps VISTA might be working with that same Habitat, but they're working behind the scenes. They're working in the organization's office, maybe recruiting volunteers or helping them set up, you know, systems, kind of that capacity building of the organization. And I know we're not talking about state and national, but when you get to them, that same Habitat organization might say, hey, we really love this AmeriCorps thing. We really want our own AmeriCorps program. So they would apply for a grant, and they would get money to fund their own AmeriCorps members. And so that habitat would get money to recruit and train and supervise a full-time or part-time set of AmeriCorps members that they themselves are directly managing and supervising and operating. So that's just kind of a one example of an organization, how each of the three streams of AmeriCorps programs could be utilized to achieve different program goals.
Thank you for that clarity. So I just want to ask a little bit about recruiting before we go. So can you tell us, I mean, again, these are professors dealing with college students or that age group, or maybe working with high school students transitioning to college. So how do you recruit that? How do you recruit that for that age? Do you have, I'm asking NCCC.
Sure.
Kevin.
Yeah, this is Kevin.
Who, by the way, also was a VISTA Habitat for Humanity member.
So really quickly, one thing I did want to mention on the topic of recruitment is that, you know, NCCC, we do all of our recruitment. We are a wholly owned and operated program here at CNCS, and so we do the recruitment, selection, and placement of our members. And then, of course, we manage them throughout their service here. Whereas VISTA, I know that they are involved in recruitment, but the community organizations that are hosting VISTA members will also be involved in that recruitment process themselves. So for NCCC, having full control over it is a little bit different in that, you know, we're outside of marketing, we do a lot of social media and email marketing and things of that nature. But we also have on-the-ground recruiters, both through a recruitment organization, or excuse me, a recruitment contractor, as well as we engage our alumni, or of course our biggest champions in recruitment efforts as well. But they are going to a variety of high schools and universities all across the country. We're, of course, a very diverse program, so we try to make sure that our recruitment efforts are focused in, you know, not just high population schools, but also hitting up all of the HBCUs, HSIs, and just everywhere across that we can really get the word out. I know recently with this disaster season, we've had a presence in Puerto Rico because that's a community that has a lot of need, both in youth who might be inspired by the work that needs to be done around them, and also might be a job market of people who are impacted and might need opportunities. So we're pretty exhaustive in all of the recruitment avenues that we approach. There's not really any single answer for us, but we're always looking for people. So if you know anybody 18 to 24, just let us know.
Great. So I'm just mindful of the time, but I do want to give everyone a chance. I don't think there's any questions right now for people listening, but I want to start with Jennifer. Jennifer, any recommendations for any of our research grantees or other universities who might be interested and are working with communities who, you know, who identify an issue and can reach out to kind of like the way you're working with our program?
I think the recommendation is, I didn't realize all of the things that they could possibly do. Like, I thought AmeriCorps was more like VISTA. They would go in to an established organization and build capacity, which is great in many cases. Like, where I'm from in Connecticut, that would be great. But there is no organization working in Nevada, so I wasn't really sure how it worked. But they can do so much more than that. Also, when Amanda was talking about how they can build in sidewalks, and I was shocked that they could do that type of labor, and then she was explaining how they go in and help with firefighting sometimes and also can wear hazmat suits. I mean, so there is such a wide variety of things that the teams can do that are very impactful for local communities. I think just don't write anything off. Let them know what's going on in the community, and maybe you can make a plan on how to address it. Even if it seems completely wild, they can probably figure out a way to make it happen.
Thank you. Amanda and Tanya? Any last words, or again, how the research helps inform the project?
Yeah, no, I think it's just as I was saying before, just and Amanda too. We're based out of Sacramento, and so that in-depth knowledge about the communities, like who are the community leaders, what are the real issues that are affecting the community, why are some initiatives successful and others not, which communities have resources and which don't. Those level of details is just, we try to do our research, but it's just difficult when you don't live in a place. And so having a partner like a research grantee that is just really, enveloped into a community and researching and looking at these issues, not just, living there, but also, deeply researching them, is just a valuable partner for us. To have that on-the-ground knowledge and to be able to open some doors and gateways. I know Jennifer is saying that AmeriCorps was helping her open doors, but she's helping us open mm-hmm. doors. So, again, it's a really great partnership that we've appreciated.
And I really hope that it can kind of become a model, potentially, for other partnerships like this. I know there's other research projects that we've connected with already in Washington and Southern California, just to see if there's some potential, whether it is partnering with those grantees or it's, like Tanya said, just becoming more knowledgeable about the community, what the needs are, and maybe getting connected to partners. I think there's a lot of opportunity for moving forward with that. We're really excited.
Yeah, and I think what is beautiful about, as Jennifer is saying, for the youth, it's not just doing the research, but their actions are actually going to help impact their community. And so I think just for that empowerment of making the research applicable, so taking the research out from behind the, data and graphs and pictures and saying, okay, how can we really use this information to impact our communities, I think is really a really beautiful piece of this as well.
And I think it's almost been full circle as far as recruitment, too.
Yes.
We've been able to, connect with some of the students, some of the youth in the community, share what AmeriCorps is, not just NCCC, but VISTA and the other streams, and really garner some interest in, the future generations, the younger members wanting to become AmeriCorps members as well. So that's exciting.
Thank you. And you've got one, right?
Mm-hmm.
An undergrad. So that's great. Thank you. And the last, Vista, I turn to you.
Well, I just wanted to speak real quickly to Jennifer's point about the lack of established nonprofits, especially in rural areas. It is a challenge that Vista has had for years trying to do that. And so we're trying to use the intermediary model more, having an established nonprofit, educational institution, government agency, something that has the capacity to manage a VISTA project, but can place members in those rural areas where there aren't those established nonprofits. So we're always on the lookout for those. And if there are any colleges and universities out there who might be interested, we'd like to know.
Okay, great. All right, well, thank you, everyone. For those listening, please just contact Melissa or I, and then we can help you connect with the VISTA folks or the NCCC campuses that are most appropriate. We will put this on our website, and hopefully it's a place to go to just learn more about this. And if there are other community partners who you think might be interested, you could just, we'll send you the link, and they're always free to listen to this. It'll be publicly available. So anyway, thank you for everyone and for being enthusiastic, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how all of this works out. Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.